Blog Talk Radio.
As the new year has started now, and we are already into the second week of 2015, the time for reflection comes to all of us. This last year has been a year of firsts, and sadly, I do not mean firsts in a good way. We have a president who is getting away with lying to the American public with complete immunity from anything bad happening to him. This brings me back to the time of Teflon Don of the Mafia, back in the 1970s or so. He was so good at being, at covering his own tracks on illegal activities that no one in the media or law enforcement could bring him down. We have that in Barack Obama. Not because no one can catch him at what he does, but it's not hard to see what he does, but because they are afraid of being labeled racists if they do. The truth doesn't matter anymore. Welcome to the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, where we work hard to show you the America we are becoming and how to stop this socialistic demise with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Traitor state of Indiana, where Obama's ideals are not espoused, comes the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show as a means to tell all you liberals out there that you are wrong and we are right. My name is Kathy Hinners, and you're listening to Hour One of the Show, where we do what we do best, tell you what the government is doing to this great nation with Obama and his minions. We're showing you ways to stop them by following the true law of the land, the Constitution. And now, heard through ConservativeNationMedia.com, here is your host from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world, Robert Garding.
Okay, welcome, my friends, to your latest edition of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show on this, the 10th of January, the second week of January in the year of our Lord 2015. We here at Wise Conservatism Trademarks for our blog, our videos, and our show hope that you all had a happy new year and that the year's holidays were the best for all my listeners this year. We are finally waking up and seeing many of our representatives for what they really are, which is good. Race baiters, the agenda seekers are finding out they are not on the right side of history now. We have been waiting for this to happen for years now, but we are still oblivious to the dangers that we all face.
Well, we're going to take a short intermission, my friend. We'll be back right after you turn the record over.
I loved that one last week so much that I just had to use it again. Breaking yesterday, another terrorist cell in Paris, France. All terrorists involved in the Charlie Hebdo massacre are killed, and yet the mainstream media continues on with it, with its idiotic idea that terrorism and Islamists are not behind all of this. People, they are. This is all Islamic, and most all Muslims are behind it, too. You say they aren't? Well, if they aren't, why aren't they calling for all these terrorists to stop in the name of their religion? They don't, because they agree with what's going on. It's in the Quran, people. Why are we always saying only the extremist Islamists are doing this? People, this whole faction of people read the same quote-unquote Bible, and it tells them anyone who doesn't believe as they do are infidels and deserve nothing but being killed by beheading or torture until they convert, which means until we convert. And here's the problem. a lot of the people being beheaded and killed over in Iran and Iraq and this whole area go along with the things that are going on because they believe that what the Quran tells them to do. In the Quran, it tells them to convert or kill all non-believers. Convert them and then make them slaves to the cause is what they do. The thing that I don't understand is how do so many young who are supposed to be smart get duped into converting when they know that many who do get killed and beheaded and used for propaganda anyway? And it's not propaganda for their freedom, but the growth of this terrorist religion. Mark my words here, folks. This is nothing but a man-made terrorist entertaining religion, a religion that professes peace but only gives peace when everyone in the world believes as they do. We have an invasion here in America of this hate-filled religion. Even here in conservative America, Indiana, we have it. One of the biggest Islamic headquarters in the world is here in Plainfield, the town where I work at my job at Epson America and Bell Tektronix. I can feel in my bones the soul of my father turning over in his grave to see what has become of the free nation that he fought World War II for. America no longer exists as it did then. And sadly, the forces that are destroying that America are in power here. In the White House, the Senate, the media, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, we are being led around by the nose and told how to survive when it is actually the way to help them destroy America as it was founded. They don't like it as it was founded. And if we don't wake up soon and take the horse by the reins, we are leading her where she and start leading her where she needs to go. We are doomed to a life of beheadings and slavery. Mark my words. In a way to show just the way the difference between radical Islam and radical Christianity really is. A cartoon on Clash Daily showed it best. Two people are facing off, yelling at each other. One on the left is a radical Muslim, covered head to foot, toe in the black outfit like the coward who is beheading Christians and converts in videos yelling, "If you don't accept Islam, it will cost you your life." The radical Christian, on the other hand, is yelling back, "I must tell you about Jesus, even if it costs me my life." I love the headline on this one, too. It says, "Hey, morons, there's a big difference between radical Muslims and radical Christians." Posted on January 8th of this year, this is a fact that no one in the mainstream media seems to get. And most of their listeners, who thankfully are getting fewer and fewer all the time, don't get it either. But still, the mainstream media, which includes CNN and MSNBC, keep telling their untruths like they are gospel and acting like if anyone doesn't believe them, then the ones not believing are infidels. One of the reasons why some of us use that tag proudly. This nation is going down the tubes without a whimper. The truth doesn't matter anymore, like I said. Only the liberal lies that the left lives by. And this is how the PC police threaten free speech, folks. Islam and leftists hate freedom. From Daily Beast yesterday came this one. These butt wipes are cool with you doing whatever as long as they've mandated it. Give me liberty or give me death. By Nick Gillespie of the Daily Beast, he writes, from trigger warnings to wide support for hate speech laws, it's time to recognize that freedom of expression has never been so threatened in the United States. Today, we are all Charlie Hebdo. What about tomorrow? And the day after that? That's when our commitment to free expression will really be tested in ways that are less obvious and prone to easy social media heroics. That's when the battle lines over allowable speech will really become clear and see who's standing where. If the recent past in America is any indication, we should be worried. As free speech and marketplace of ideas it energizes are never really popular for very long. They are always suspended over a precipice, dangling by a slender thread that shows every sign of snapping. Now, don't get me wrong. It's absolutely fantastic that Twitter and Instagram are overflowing with people from all over the world publicly stating solidarity, not simply with the French satirical magazine whose staff was murdered by Islamist madmen, but the larger principle that speech and peaceful expression shouldn't be subject to murderous reprisal. And it shouldn't be. I think it's especially great that Europeans are doing so. Even that part of the world is no haven for free speech. As the radical British Muslim cleric Anjem Chowdhury wrote on Twitter while the bodies were practically still bleeding out, he quoted, "If freedom of expression can be sacrificed for criminalizing incitement and hatred, why not for insulting the Prophet of Allah?" Unquote. Virtually every European nation has speech laws of some sort, most of which protect against the always poorly defined slandering or libeling of this or that religious faith, along with a million other things, for God's, Allah's sake. Austria even threw joke historian David Irving in prison for denying the Holocaust, an action that accomplished nothing other than giving him greater standing among neo-Nazi idiots and solving the historical guilt of the First Nation to sign up willingly for Hitler's genocidal madness. Writing in USA Today, Chowdhury expanded on his anti-free speech argument using European law and custom to justify or explain violence. Given curtailments of freedom of expression, quote, "Why in this case did the French government allow the magazine Charlie Hebdo to continue to provoke Muslims, thereby placing the sanctity of its citizens at risk? It is time that the sanctity of a prophet revered by up to one quarter of the world's population was protected." No, it's not. But the article continues. Even as he ignored the unsuccessful 2007 attempt by aggrieved Muslims to sue Charlie Hebdo under a stupid French law, Chowdhury invoked the same sort of higher law reasoning that underwrote protests by all sorts of radicals such as St. Thomas More, Roger Williams, Henry David Thoreau, Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr. in all their finest moments. Muslims consider the honor of the Prophet Muhammad to be dearer to them than that of their parents or even themselves. To defend it is considered to be an obligation upon them, says Chowdhury, because this is because the messenger Muhammad said, "Whoever insults a prophet, kill him." To me, this really doesn't sound like a peaceful religion at all. Article goes on to say, "That's a gutsy, clever, contentious argument to make in the wake of an unambiguously despicable act. It's gutsy, too, to pretend to speak for all of Islam, which, like Christianity, contains multi-indigenous interpretations of core doctrines." Chowdhury's obvious logical sleight of hand, he conflates incitement and hatred, thereby equating action and thought so as to prohibit both, suggests that he is arguing in bad faith. But his case founders in a specifically American context where hate speech is rightly protected under the First Amendment, which is not coincidentally also guarantees freedom of religion and freedom of association. Speech, religion, and association are inextricably intertwined, after all, and to try to separate them is the same as destroying them. It would be like trying to remove the color from a jug of paint. All spiritual obligations to Allah, Muhammad, Jesus, Joseph Smith aside, constitutional guarantees of speech, religion, and association are precisely one of the reasons why American Muslims and Catholics, Protestants, Jews, and others are less likely to shoot each other here than to argue in the marketplace of ideas or, as important, ignore each other completely. And if that isn't bad enough, folks, it continued that after this message of grand importance to CNM followers, the return of CNM is coming. And other than this show, you will also be hearing from Duke Brooks, our leader, with his show Radio Free America. Duke got his conservative roots and anti-communism put in his DNA from his parents, who were friends with Whitaker, Chambers, Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley. So what would you expect? There is no truth to the old rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's photo on it, but that would be cool if he did. When CNM returns, you will get your old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, the right one, and hanger flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks. Stay tuned for the dates and times of this great when this great show returns, along with Conservative Nation Media and the other shows that will return with them. You will hear all about it here on New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, the continuing of CNM during the downtime, Radio Free America and Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins. And now, to continue from the article on how the PC police and liberalism is killing America. Yet we Americans shouldn't be glib or smug in our devotion and commitment to free speech. Yes, we do typically do better than Europe and Canada too, which is frequently awful on this score. But even if free speech is guaranteed by law, it's hemmed in by countless other trends, customs, and especially mindsets that seek to reduce, restrict, and in some cases even criminalize speech, and we've seen that lately too. The simple, awful truth is that free speech has never been particularly popular in America. When they're not busy banning books such as the Harry Potter and Captain Underpants series, really, schools should drill into students that it's pathetic that Lady Chatterley's Lover and countless other books, films, and other forms of creative expressions were banned for decades. Back in the 1980s and early 90s, it tended to be the right, especially the religious right, that sought to shut down art and expression that it found distasteful, obscene, and irrelevant, that Jesse Helms harped on the minimal taxpayer funding underwriting Andres Serrano's Piss Christ, barely disguised conservatives' larger game in shutting down art they found sacrilegious or distasteful. But it wasn't just the right or conservatives who were forever being literally and figuratively pissed off. In 1989, when a student at Chicago's Law Institute or Art Institute created an exhibit that invited the audience to step on an American flag, the Senate voted 97-0 to criminalize putting flags on the floor or the ground. As the World Wide Web was scaling up to a true mass medium, the Clinton administration and backing of a Republican Congress passed the Communications Decency Act, which would have effectively subjected the web to the same sort of dreary content regulation that attends to broadcast radio and television. The CDA was passed not in the name of censorship, but in the name of protecting children from stumbling across sexual material. Only a surprising and overwhelming free speech decision in 1997's Reno versus ACLU saved us from such a debilitating law. Today's threats to free speech are more likely to come from social justice warriors who on the left say they are defending the feelings of those deemed to be crushed under the weight of supposedly systemic racism and sexism. The movement is more evident on college campuses. 20 years ago, the ACLU unveiled against the rise of campus speech, codes or policies prohibiting speech that offends any group based on race, gender, ethnicity, religion, or sexual orientation. Whatever the intention of the ACLU argued, and still does, such rules end up policing and punishing thought, which should be anathema anywhere, but especially at a university. As the Students' Right group, fire documents on an appalling regular basis the ease with which colleges infringe on expression and association is unceasing. More recently, under the guise of protecting victims of sexual assault, the federal government tied higher education funding to creating on-campus legal proceedings that strip defendants of due process rights. The silencing of defendants under federal guidelines is so egregious that even the overwhelming progressive facility of Harvard Law School called the government's action beyond the pale. Then there's the move towards trigger warnings, mandatory announcements that reading and discussing materials such as The Great Gatsby might cause post-traumatic stress disorders, and the creation of a whole new range of offensive and thus actionable speech called microaggressions. The atmosphere on campuses have gotten repulsive enough that comedian Chris Rock, who is no fool's liberal, no longer plays colleges, citing examples such as University of California at Berkeley students trying to bar an appearance by Bill Maher because of his anti-Muslim jokes. Rock told New York that he stopped playing colleges, and the reason is because they're way too conservative. Not in their political views, not like they're voting Republican, but in their social views and their willingness not to offend anybody. You can't be offensive on your way to being inoffensive. As my reasoned colleague Elizabeth Nolan Brown has written, progressives may well come to rue the day that they signed to the laws forbidding controversial speech based on the speaker's perceived motivations. A Brooklyn graffiti artist was charged with a hate crime because her message criticized the NYPD, and a professor lost a tenured position at the University of Illinois because his anti-Israel comments were labeled hate speech. In America, these are the sorts of incursions against free speech and a truly unregulated marketplace of ideas that will persist and likely grow long after the dead in Paris are forgotten, just as Dutch filmmaker Theo van Gogh's ghastly murder has been. We will likely never face the explicit limits on speech, religion, and the association imposed by European countries, but we're kidding ourselves if we think similarly effective repression cannot happen here. In fact, hate speech laws may even become a reality. October of 2014, Economist YouGov poll found roughly equal amounts of Americans supporting and opposing a law that would make it a crime for people to make comments that advocate genocide or hatred against an identifiable group based on such things as their race, gender, religion, ethnic origin, or sexual orientation. 36 were in favor and 38 were opposed. Among Democrats, 51% supported such laws. Those are troubling numbers for unfettered speech, as not incidental to a flourishing society. It's the foundation upon which everything from science to religion to community to politics is built. We need to recover and grow the idea that proper answer to bad speech is more and better speech, or as good to ignore that which bothers and insults you. Tend to your own garden, to quote the great sage of free speech, Voltaire, and invite people to follow your example. Today we are all Charlie Hebdo, and that's a great thing. But tomorrow and the day after, that's what really matters. Paris correspondence for The Guardian tweets, Yves Alabrello, UMP, TMP for Sinet Marni, has told at ITEL, quote, two fugitives declared they wanted to die as martyrs, unquote. Well, here's what we do. Kill them. Let them find out that the afterlife that they believe is going to happen when it comes to killing people does not include the 72 virgins nor any of the other things the Quran promises. They are all lies. And by the time they find out about that, it'll be too late to change their minds. God does not reward murdering scum of the earth. And that is what the Islamists are. Time to realize this, because they are nothing more than murdering scum who deserves to be banned from America and the rest of the civilized world unless they come out against the ideals they are standing for or allowing to stand. Until they do that, they condone what the Islamists are doing, period. Actions are what show intentions. And the Muslims' actions so far have told me that they agree with Islamist tyranny, even here in America. Time to move them out. You have been listening to Conservative Nation Media and the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show. I am your host, Robert, the proud American infidel guarding. Our call-in number is 718-305-7176. If you want to join the fun. And now for our final segment. I said last week and many times over the last year or so, it is time to make some major changes here in America. People who do not believe in the Constitution, like Barack Obama, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, et al., need to be removed from office. Sure, they have the major money to keep getting them elected, but it has been proven over and over again, money doesn't matter if the people find out the truth of what they are doing, and then they vote for America, not greed. In France yesterday and today, we have been hearing of the terror that has engulfed the country after the terrorist twin attacks on the offices of Charles Hebdo, Satirical Weekly, and other places. French forces were today, frantically hunting for the girlfriend of an Islamist gunman as the country mourns 17 deaths in the three blood-soaked days that shook the nation to its core. Here is what MSNBC said about it. After President Francois Hollande warned the threats facing France weren't over, an Islamist group issued chilling warning of fresh attacks, authorities pursued 26-year-old Hayat Boumediene, said to be armed and dangerous. She is the partner of Amadi Coulibaly, killed on Friday when security forces mounted a massive assault on a Jewish supermarket in eastern Paris, where he had taken terrified shoppers hostage. Coulibaly, who said he was a member of the Islamic State jihadist group, slaughtered four hostages during the assault and called friends from the scene, urging them to state further attacks. He and Boumediene are prime suspects, and he in the earlier murder of police woman on Thursday just outside the French capital. Now, I've been saying this for a long time, folks. We cannot, and I stress, cannot abide in them moving into our country and making their own rules to live by. That is what we have been doing, and if you want to see where that will lead us, look at the article I just read to you from France. You think that it can't happen here? Keep allowing the PC police and the political left wing nuts and their media to dictate to us that what we can and cannot do to them. Mark my words, it will happen here, and it has already started in places like Dearborn, Michigan, and other places that have hit the news. Terror is coming, and if we don't step up and stop it, it will continue. Now, and even sooner than now, time is coming when it will be too late and we will all suffer because we are the infidels that they think need killing and beheading. Thank you for listening today. With this second NWCR show of 2015, keep up the fight for America. She needs us all. And we will be back again next week to continue the battle. And good day.
From the sword of the crusader to the missionary spin, from the atom of your soul and your spirit. Take a chance and get near it. Everybody needs a dream. Is the media for real? Do we fake or do we feel? Do we face all our appeal on a model or a myth? It's a market correction. It's addiction resurrection. It's the last thing you mention before you knock it stiff.
You all.